So what we discover is that that specific problem that we were solving for us, it was happening, number one, to so many people with disabilities and so many people with accessibility needs, but also to so many industry partners who wanted to become part of the accessible traveling world, but they really don't know
how. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the new episode of VEO Executive Academy podcast, where we give you exclusive insights from some of the brightest leaders today, who all have one thing in common. They are or were students of our MBA programs. I'm Chedomir Pushita, your host, and it is my task to ask the right questions so that you can learn more about the person, their industry, their mindset, and how they manage to bring positive change to businesses and their communities.
Camilo Navarro is the co-founder and CEO of Wheel the World, a Silicon Valley company that caters to the needs of travelers with disabilities. His company's mission is to make the world accessible. Wheel the World offers more than 160 destinations, has served more than 1,000 travelers, and has been rated 9.5 out of 10 stars by its users. I've had the pleasure to listen to Camilo's story with our VEO Executive Academy cohort during our study trip to San Francisco last year, and so many of us were quite impressed with the idea behind it, Camilo's energy, and the mission itself, which is why we are all thankful for your time and to be our guest. So welcome, Camilo.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invite. So happy to be here.
And now I would just like to go straight away and ask you where Wheel the World is now, and then we'll step back and go to the origins and talk about your amazing story.
Yeah. So that's a hard question to answer. Like, where is Wheel the World now? Okay, so Wheel the World now, it's a startup that is experiencing some important and significant growth. We are a team of 45 people working full-time. Half of our team are product people and software engineers. We are based here in between San Francisco, and I'm Chilean, so we have part of our team based in Chile, in Argentina as well. We are a remote-first company, and we are now, just to give you an update, we are running operations in 240 different destinations in almost 50 countries around the world. So yeah, that's a little bit about kind of like the stage that we are currently in.
That's amazing. And I also read on the website that recently the Expedia Group, I think it was in March, announced a new API partnership with you. And what does that mean for your target group, and how does it work in practice?
What does it mean for our target group, for our users, essentially any person who have accessibility needs, any person that has some sort of disability, even seniors that are part of our clients as well? What it means for them is that now we are able to offer a better service for them. So we partner up with Expedia in order to provide better pricing structure for some of our listings, faster booking process. And that's part of our mission. We want to build the best solution for people with disabilities to travel. So that's part of our roadmap on how we can deliver that. And together with Expedia, we're very excited that we are providing that in one specific type of user, which in this case is related to hotels, places to stay, as we call it. So in practicality, what it means is that whenever someone with accessibility needs get into our website, is going to be able to find and book in just a matter of seconds any place to stay where we guarantee accessibility and it's frictionless booking process, which is not the reality of most people with disabilities. When they book trips, specifically hotels, they need to call maybe 5 times to the hotel just to make sure that they're going to get the accessible room. They don't really know exactly how accessible is that room. So now through our platform, they can avoid all of that. They can avoid that uncertainty and they can have a frictionless experience.
That's amazing. So just to make sure that everyone listening to us understands what Wheel the World is, practically, it's a frictionless experience with vetted hotels and vetted destinations where you make sure that all the destinations, all the hotels or the facilities are adapted to the needs of people who have disabilities or some accessibility needs.
Exactly. Yeah, you describe it perfectly. Going to that specific point, for some of the audience that is listening to us right now, it might be hard to understand what is the specific problem, right? So the specific problem is, imagine you coming to San Francisco, right? And then you arrive to your hotel room. You realize once you get into the room, when you start walking, there's like kind of a sticky floor. So you can barely walk, and there's a lot of furniture around that room. So you can barely move yourself around the room. And once you want to get into the bed, it's so high that you need to climb on it. And then you want to use the bathroom, but the door is locked, right? Imagine traveling from Europe to San Francisco, where I'm based, and having that experience. Quite frustrating, right? That's what is happening to people with disabilities. For example, a wheelchair user, if doesn't know that there's a thick carpet, they're not going to be able to just move the wheelchair with freedom. And then if they have like specific furniture, they don't have enough like turning radio, so they can barely move the wheelchair around the room. And then they want to use the bed, but they don't have the specific height, so they cannot transfer. And then they don't have the specific rolling shower, so they cannot even use the bathroom. Okay? That's the frictionless part that we're removing from someone with accessibility needs when they book an hotel room, for example, through wheeltheworld.com.
That's amazing. And now let me ask you another question, because this looks very much like what I heard defined perfectly as the founder product fit. So How did you come to this idea? When did that happen? When did you realize that this was something you wanted to do?
This happened because we needed to solve the problem, that problem that I just described, for myself and my co-founder. Let me tell you a little bit about how we got here. My co-founder and best friend, his name is Alvaro. We went to elementary and high school together in Chile. We're both Chileans. And Alvaro, when he was 18 years old, he got involved in a car accident. And as a consequence, he became a wheelchair user. And since then, we understood that almost nothing is well thought, any product or service is not well thought when it comes to someone who has accessibility needs. Specifically, when you want to go around the city, you want to go to the restaurant, you want to go to the bathroom at the restaurant, or you want to go to an hotel, or you want to go to the theater, or any place really. Nothing is well designed for people with accessibility needs. And of course, that was super hard for him, but also for the friends who were around him. And we, of course, we wanted to do everything as people, when they're 19 years old, they want to live their life as fully as possible. And we just dealt with those obstacles over and over again. And we kind of accepted that reality, I guess. But a few years ago, we decided to challenge that. And we became the first expedition ever in history to conquer Patagonia, Torres del Paine, with a wheelchair user, Alvaro himself. To do that trip was extremely hard. Number one, we couldn't get any specific information about where we could stay at, how accessible was going to be that hotel, the problem that I was just describing, right? None of that information was available for us. We didn't know if there was going to be like too many stairs, or there was going to be a ramp, or how accessible was the bathroom, you know? So that was kind of like the first part of the problem. Secondly, we couldn't find ground transportation. We couldn't know like how we're going to get there, like what type of accessible transportation is available in that area that wasn't available for us. And finally, that we needed certain equipment to go through this massive hike, which in this case it was a one-wheel wheelchair that we figured out to acquire. And once we did that, we came with the idea of building an online guide. Back then, it was just an online guide, like getting all this information that we were struggling to get posted in this website for future visitors to be able to repeat the trip that we were going to do. So we did the trip, and our story went viral. And hundreds of people with disabilities start reaching out, asking us for help through this very simple blog. It was just like an online website. It wasn't a company. It wasn't a startup. It wasn't a marketplace. It was just like a static website with information, right? And then they started asking us like, hey, would you be willing to help me to book the hotel, to get the transportation, to get that special trekking wheelchair? And on the other hand, we started receiving requests from hotels and tour operators who thought that this online guide could be replicated in their destinations. And that was kind of our aha moment. So what we discovered is that specific problem that we were solving for us, it was happening, number one, to so many people with disabilities and so many people with accessibility needs, but also to so many industry partners who wanted to become part of the accessible traveling world, but they really don't know how. That's when Wheel the World was born.
That's an amazing story. And that's really the definition of founder problem fit or founder product fit. So it normally when you're trying to solve a problem that really is burning you and in this case, your friend, the co-founder. I mean, this is really an amazing story. And this was so great. And there is I actually checked the Twitter recently and I saw that there is a video there where you can actually see this trip for some other people who are also doing the same. It looks very difficult, even without a wheelchair, but just seeing people bringing the wheelchair up the mountain is extremely incredible.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, it was extremely hard. People told us, you guys are crazy. This doesn't make any sense. This is too risky. And you know what happened when some people just tell you that? That only gives you more energy to do the trick. Well, the reality is that Wheel of the World is not really more kind of like an outdoor platform, to put it somehow. We discovered that those type of trips are not the main trips that people with disabilities are booking through wheeltheworld.com. The majority of the trips are being booked to like kind of leisure destinations, you know, cultural destinations, like the main cities of the world. And we do have some cases where they book these trips to the outdoors. But the reality is that the outdoor was the hardest problem to solve, right? And as you said, it was extremely difficult hike. But the reality is that most of the trips now that we're booking through wheeltheworld.com are more in New York City, in Paris, in London, in Costa Rica, in Hawaii, etc.
Okay, beautiful. I saw that, and I saw also that you have three types of services that you're offering, like places to stay, that's hotels practically, and accommodation, then things to do, that would be the outdoors, right? Or it would be also other stuff.
It will be more like a tour, but yeah, it could be also outdoors. Yeah.
And there is the third thing, like several days in a row.
Yeah, multi-day experiences.
Multi-day, okay.
Yeah.
So how did these products come to be?
Great question. Actually, again, when we started the company, we focused on only one thing, like how we can deliver like a great experience for people with disabilities who want to travel the world, right? And we did kind of the things that they were asking us to do. So, and in that process, we made a lot of mistakes. One of them, because my co-founder and myself, we really like the outdoors, we were focusing on climbing the Machu Picchu, we were focusing on climbing big mountains because we were like excited to do that, right? And we were young. We're not young anymore, I guess. But yeah, we focus on those type of activities. But then we started receiving tons of requests from the users that they really wanted to go to New York. And they were like, okay, I went to Patagonia, but now I want to go to New York or to Washington or to Paris. And we focus on, okay, what are the things that any human being, when they travel, they actually need, right? And the answer is very simple. Well, number one, you need basically to book a flight or any transportation in general. Then you need a place that you're going to be sleeping. Then you need some type of activities. And there's some people that they want to have all in one, right? So we decided to say, okay, let's focus. We do not sell flight tickets for now. It's in the roadmap, but not now. And we focus on solving essentially where they can stay at, what type of activities they could do, or if they want a combination of those both, of those two things, they could book a multi-day trip. And that's kind of like how we just follow our users' desires, right? If you want to put it in, listen to your customer, right? And they were asking us for that. So we did that.
Mm-hmm. And now, again, taking another step back regarding your story, when you started getting all those emails and requests from people when you still didn't have the company, did you decide at that point to go to the US and do it there? What was your main idea? When did you decide actually to turn it into a business?
It was a process, a little bit of kind of like how the timeline went. So what happened is after we did the trip to Patagonia, both my co-founder and myself, we moved to California. Specifically, we went both to study at Berkeley, where we didn't study that much because we were kind of bombarded by this opportunity of people. They wanted to do something, the travel industry, they wanted to do something about it. And we didn't drop out. We should have dropped out school to make the story more dramatic, but we finished. And I think it was throughout that process where we had like two inflection points, I would say. Number one was that after we did tons of research, we understood that there was a big opportunity, specifically 15% of the world population today have disabilities. So we're talking about 1 billion people. And because they don't live by themselves. They have families and friends. So there is another billion. So we're talking about 1/3 of the world population who is affected by this lack of accessible services. Understanding that there was a big opportunity, right? And secondly, there were some opportunities that we came across. So one of them was that we got accepted in a startup incubator in Berkeley. So kind of like school was also a catalyzer of, okay, there's something going on here. You guys are not sure what, but come here and start working. And over that period of time that we were studying, but we were kind of all day in that startup incubator, still doing our homeworks, of course, we started thinking through if building a company could be an idea that could be worth. There were many people telling us, you guys are crazy if you think that you're going to build a business by taking people in wheelchairs to the mountains. That was kind of like, I guess, the initial kind of business idea, right? But I think we were bold enough to understand that there was a bigger opportunity, given that there was a big problem that no one was solving. So in that acceleration program from school, in that incubator, we decided to, okay, we're going to incorporate the company. So now what? We have a company. Okay. But now what we're going to be doing, we started getting in touch with angel investors. I still remember that the first angel investor who decided to back us invested in a PowerPoint. Like, I mean, we had kind of like detected a huge problem. We were able to kind of say, okay, this is the problem that we're going to try to solve, right? We have a vision on what we want to achieve. And that's how the company was born. Those were kind of like the inflection points, I guess.
That's amazing. And now speaking about that, you already mentioned that one of the mistakes you made, and that's always very interesting to people to hear, is you assumed that people were also more interested in the outdoors because you were interested in that. But then you realize it was not so, that people wanted more leisurely travel and everything. But what are other, let's say, revelations or things that kind of surprise you because you had a hypothesis maybe about something, but it didn't turn out to be? What was the most surprising thing for you?
I think that making mistakes is part of the journey. And actually, those mistakes are, of course, like learning processes, like big numbers law. Like when you think if you could break down where do people travel to, you're going to understand that the outdoors represent a very small segment of traveling. So for now, that number is growing rapidly, but it's not the majority of the people. I mean, if you think in your case, in the audience case, in my case, the majority of the trips that I have taken are more towards leisure destinations, kind of like the big cities. Everyone wants to know Paris. Everyone wants to know London. And there's like laws of 20% of the destinations concentrate 80% of the travelers who are visiting different destinations of the world. So I think that the revelation was, of course, people with disabilities, they have that same type of behavior. So that's how we modify a little bit like the strategy for Wheel the World. Together with that, there were some other revelations. Like at the beginning, we thought, well, you know what? Maybe we could just focus on the tours and activities side of it, right? So initially, we were more focused in that instead of focusing more in hotels, right? The fact that as we kept asking questions, the right question is, where is the pain? Where are you struggling the most? We rapidly understood that there was more than the tours and activities. At the beginning, we thought, well, maybe they already figured it out, like how to book an hotel room. And they were booking through Expedia.com, through Booking.com, through Airbnb. And then revelation, it was like they're having terrible experience when they're booking through those platforms. So we thought, okay, maybe we can do it better. And that was also another revelation that we had. Probably we're still having revelations as we keep moving forward. Because ultimately, what we care the most is like how we're going to make hypotheses, as you said, about if we focus, if we prioritize this over that, like we might learn that this is where the biggest pains of the travelers are, right? So that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. And I remember also in San Francisco, you were mentioning, and this was really funny and super interesting when you said how you were measuring rooms when you went to hotels, and how did you do that? Like actually making sure that hotels and accommodation is accessible. You hire other people to do the measurements, and that was really funny how you presented.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I'm convinced that when you start a company, I think I shared this when you guys were here. There is an advice that here in the Bay Area, in Silicon Valley in general, they have, which is do things that don't scale, which is kind of counterintuitive if you put it in perspective, right? So at the beginning, we were because again, we didn't know how big was going to be this opportunity. We were like us traveling to those destinations, and we were just taking the measurement by ourselves, and we were just writing them in a notebook, right? We weren't like necessarily building technology. That was initially like that last maybe a couple of months, but because then rapidly when we start receiving more requests of more tour providers, more hotels in different parts of the world who wanted to become part of the platform, then we decided to create an app. And then we experienced that those users, they needed some help from our side, because understanding accessible information initially was like, okay, this is something new, you know, there's not too much knowledge around it. So we thought like, well, maybe we can just outsource that through partnering with part of our community who are really supportive around our mission and our vision. And we decided, instead of like, you know, I always say there's a famous app here called Instacart that they have like shoppers, right? We have mappers, and those mappers, what they're doing is like through a gig economy sort of approach, they're going to different places and they're gathering this very specific accessibility information. Again, it's a process, right? Do things that don't scale, like maximize the value and the output for the end user rather than just thinking how you're going to scale these too fast, right? And throughout that process, we learned that, okay, there's a way, a more scalable way, which is, okay, now we can just outsource and mappers to those properties. But now we're even moving towards like the self-onboarding process, right? Now, I think that we're living, I always feel that we're so lucky because I think the world is understanding the importance of accessibility every time more. So now when you talk about accessibility, it becomes like a more, I understand what you mean. So now we are pushing towards like, our partners are self-onboarding, right? Like they're going through the process. The app is super simple to use. It's self-explanatory. So again, part of the journey, starting from something that don't scale, and then you figure it out, you make it better, and that's how you end up scaling, which is what we're working on right now.
That's really amazing. So now when somebody wants to become your partner, now my question is, listening to what you were saying, I was thinking, are you now more driven by partner requests? Is your business growing because people are recognizing you as an important player? Or are you still reaching out, or is it a combination? Or how does it work? How are you growing now?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, right? At the beginning, when we were reaching out to partners, we were like, hey, we're Wheel the World. The partners were like, Wheel the what? Well, we're an accessible travel solution. Like, what are you talking about? And we were like, okay, we help people with accessibility needs to travel, and we want you to become part of our platform. At the beginning, they were like, okay, who you are? Okay, call me later, right? Not paying too much attention. And what happened was that as we kept moving forward, as we kept pushing the industry, ultimately, those same partners that initially they said no, that now they're saying yes for several reasons. One is that we have been able to create more brand awareness. So our brand is more recognized. They see that there's a company that is specializing on travelers with accessibility needs. And number two, they see the business opportunity as well. They want to become part of this because it's a no-brainer. I mean, I always like to say becoming accessible is inevitable. Like you're going to have to do it no matter what, because population is aging, and every one of us will be part of, as a consequence of aging, to the community of people with disabilities, right? So it's something that whether you like it or not, you're going to end up implementing accessibility features in your services. So now it makes more sense given that aspect of how population is aging, and also because every time more, people with disabilities. Like I said before, 15% of the world population today have disabilities. People with disabilities, because societies are becoming more inclusive and more accessible, people with disabilities, they have access now to education, for example. And therefore, they can access to the workforce. And then they're working more and they get salaries and they have income and they want to spend an income in products and services that are not designed for them. So in other words, the travel industry is understanding that there's a business opportunity, but also is the right thing to do. And we are being able to capitalize on that, given that we are building better system, better user experience, not only for the traveler, but also for those partners who join our platform, right? Part of the benefits of joining Wheel the World as a partner is that we're providing with ton of content, like inspiration, education as well, like trainings, e-learning trainings. We're also providing assessments and we're using technology to do this, right? So for them, it's very easy. And there's a lot of benefits of being part of this solution, right?
And whoever wants to become your partner, what do they have to do? Go to wheeltheworld.com?
Just enlist your property and then there's going to be a process there in place for you to join.
Perfect. So it's simple and easy to use. Your website is really super easy to use. I'm very impressed. Everything is so nicely laid out and clear.
Yeah.
So you made it accessible. Even your website is so easy to use.
Yeah.
Just like
thank you.
The product.
Thank you. Yeah. No, thanks for the compliment. It has been a lot of work to get there.
I can imagine that. And now you are mostly organizing trips in North America, also Europe. But
yes,
what is your plan, expansion plan, let's say global expansion plan, how things are looking? When are we going to be hearing more about you?
Our plan is to become the best solution for people with disabilities in the States to travel domestically and internationally. And when you think through the perspective of where people with disabilities in the US are traveling, it's the same that people without disabilities are traveling to. The number one destination is, of course, United States. They travel a lot domestically. And number two is Europe. They travel a lot to Europe, right, combined. So now we're focusing on generating more offer in each one of the destinations. You may see that in some destinations we don't have enough offer, and now we're focusing on improving that alternative for our users. So that's part of our plan. Also part of our plan is helping those partners to become better, to understand more about accessibility, to ultimately provide a better user experience for people with accessibility needs that might happen to be booking something through our platform, but it might be just someone that just appeared in the front desk of that hotel in Vienna, right? And we think that it's very important to create awareness. We're very passionate about accessibility. So therefore, we really want to help the industry to become better, regardless if that means that necessarily the bookings are going to happen through our platform. It might happen elsewhere.
And now I want to ask you two questions. One of those is, are you present in Vienna? Can people book properties in Vienna or trips?
Not yet, but soon they will.
Okay, that's amazing. And when we speak about all the countries that you're working with, which one or ones are generally more accessibility conscious and which ones require a lot more work to get there?
Okay, I would say the most accessible country in the planet is the United States. I think that there's a specific reason for that is because in the United States, there is a law. It's called the American Disability Act that enforces most of the infrastructure that is available in the US to be accessible. And they have a standard for that, which is not the case, unfortunately, for some other destinations. So I think that the ADA will happen in every single country because, again, internal population of every country is making pressure towards making things more accessible. So I think most countries will get there. But even the States, which is one of the most accessible countries in the world, is still not enough because there is a standard, right? But that standard doesn't serve to every type of disabilities. And most importantly, they don't provide the information about that standard. Let me deep dive on that. So the problem is that accessibility information is not online, okay? It doesn't matter that you tell me I meet the requirements of a standard, but then that standard might not be like the standard that someone with accessibility needs actually needs, because accessibility needs resides on each individual. You cannot infer that a wheelchair user has the same type of need as another person in a wheelchair. You cannot infer that someone with a quadriplegia has the same type of need as another person with a quadriplegia. And also, there's invisible disabilities, right? Like someone maybe with a visual disability or a deafness disability, they need to know if there's auditory guidance in those properties. They need to know if there are braille signals in those properties as well. So that's what I'm referring to, which there's not an accessibility information standard. And accessibility standards in each country might be different from each other. What it is important is to raise the information and making available for the user to understand whether or not it is the right fit or the right accessibility that they need.
Are you having any influence on that, or are you even trying to get there?
Yes. We are at Wheel the World, we're really trying to build that accessibility information certification, right? Like meaning that I think we have one of the most comprehensive accessible data sets when it comes to accessibility that provides a better understanding for any type of person with any type of accessibility needs. So it's 200 data points per listing, so in average amount of data and information that really helps the user, the end user, someone with accessibility needs to understand whether or not they can go there. So if you're going to a specific hotel or a specific tour, you need to know what is the altitude of the restaurant tables, right? Like sometimes you go to a restaurant and the tables are so high that a wheelchair user is not going to have the same type of experience that someone that is sitting all on those tall chairs. Or you need to know if there's an accessible bathroom throughout the tour that you're going through, right? All of that information is the one that we are saying, hey, you know what? The only way that someone with accessibility needs is going to access equally to that destination is by knowing in detail how accessible or inaccessible is that infrastructure. I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's a huge effort you're actually putting in that, and very impressive.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. So Camilo, would you like to wrap this up with a message to our listeners,
yeah,
to everybody out there?
I think I just want to mention that disabilities, as I said before, it's the only minority that sooner or later every one of us will be part of as a consequence of aging. So when you look through that perspective, there is a very important need to make products and services more accessible, to become more accessible and inclusive, because when you think through that perspective, I mean, people with disabilities are the largest minority in the world. So we think that essentially it is a no-brainer to address accessibility. And specifically, what I would love to see, which is to me kind of how I look success, right? Like for me, what is success? Of course, to a certain degree, I want Wheel the World to become massively successful, right? But I would say that to me, it would be even a bigger success if by having a successful company entirely focused on people with disabilities, we can prove to society that other companies, other entrepreneurs, existing companies, if they focus more, if they create more products and services toward people with disabilities, they can create a more accessible world while they build a better business for them as well. So I want to prove, I really want Wheel the World to become some sort of example of that could kind of make other people passionate about the importance of making products and services more accessible, which I think ultimately will provide people with disabilities amazing experiences, like when they consume any product or services. Or maybe someone who is listening to me right now will say, you know what, I never hire someone with a disability, right? So that awareness that we might be able to generate, I think it could promote others to become more accessible, to hire more people with disabilities, and ultimately build a more equal world, I guess. I think that will be great to reduce inequality and to generate more sustainable cities in the future.
That is a beautiful message, and thank you for that, Camilo. And for everyone else listening, please go to wieldtheworld.com. You will be impressed, and thank you for all the things that you are doing for a huge number of people affected by any kind of disability. And as you mentioned, you're also doing something for our future, for the future of all of us. So thank you so much, Camilo. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank
I'm
you
so
much.
Happy to be able to share this story with all the rest of the world.
And happy to see you again here in San Francisco.
I'm looking forward to that, and all the best.
Okay, bye-bye. Have a good one.
Bye. Hello again. Thank you for listening to this episode of VEU Executive Academy podcast, Know How to Inspire. Now, one more thing before you go. Please subscribe to our channel on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes, or check out our website at executiveacademy.at/podcast. That is executiveacademy.at/podcast. Last but not least, spread the word, because the more you share knowledge, the more inspiring it gets.